Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Around the Tuesday Table podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Smith, aka Smitty. On today's episode, my friend, co-host, and fellow life and integrative nutrition health coach, Tammy Ressler, and I are discussing Glennon Doyle's new book, Untamed. What does Untamed look like? What are we chasing? And what are some strategies for helping us live our best untamed lives? Enjoy the episode. So, here we are. We're rocking and rolling. How are you today?
I think today I'm feeling like my head and shoulders are more above the waterline than sinking to the bottom. I celebrate that. We have ventured out a couple times for dinner. In the midst of COVID phasing us forward.
You brave soul.
Oh my gosh, that has been weird. We got a call a few nights ago and our friends were like, hey, do you want to go out for dinner? And it was like, oh my gosh, yes. And you know, you're so excited and go get ready. And then it like hits you. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go into my husband who's sitting down and like, should we really go? Like, is it really time and safe? Are we being dumb? That's just a piece of the week. So it's been a few couple of weeks that have just been like, yeah. Whoa, what about you?
I'm not at that place where I can leave the house. I actually had my hairstylist, their salon is reopening, and she sent me a personal text to say, hey, I've got some slots, you know, if you want to come in and get a haircut. And I'm not there, and I'm a high risk. So until it feels safer, you know, I'm going to be one of those people that'll probably live vicariously through and, you know, thanking the good Lord above for Zoom and FaceTime and all the rest of that.
I love that we could all respect one another's differences.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Do what we all need to do.
So today we're not here to talk about COVID. Uh-huh.
Nope.
But we are here to talk about a book that both of us have read, Glennon Doyle's new book called Untamed. There's a good reason why this book is at the top of the New York Times bestseller list. It's really struck a nerve. I see lots of comments of people, women that are reading it all across my social media feeds. So Tammy.
Yes.
For you, what was the overall theme?
The overall theme of the book, Untamed. I think it's about becoming untamed, that I can keep moving closer to God, who created me to be who I am, which I like to deem that my true essence, being unwild, yet authentically wild. And so for me, I was like, I used to be wild for wild's sake, just straight up rebellion and all the reasons behind that. You know, looking for love and attention. I resonated with what Glennon said in her book, but it was just to be more wild, to be wild in doing and being. Yet now it's just to be wild in a way that is true to who I am and who God has created me to be. Sometimes I deem it living outside the lines of kind of that normal box that I want to live in, the habitual path or patterns that I have a tendency to go to, some of which are my own creation and consequences. Some are, you know, based on others or things that have happened to me in my life. But I think that's what I think Untamed is kind of pointing me toward or is about, just that true essence of living in that space of who I am, unapologetically, not harsh and rude, but just in a way that's true to myself.
Mm-hmm. True, so, and authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think it's kind of fun to, as we were tossing this around, I thought, you know, I wonder what other people think. So I have a dear friend who I ask, because she had asked me if I had read the book, and this was a few weeks ago, and I was like, no, but I intend to. And so I just reached out to her and asked her, you know, okay, so what'd you think of the book? And she came back and said that it made her question a little bit her sexuality and how much she has been or is influenced by what people think. And I was like, okay. And then I asked specifically, why do you think she called the book Untamed? And it was so good to hear her take, because she said, I guess the point for her is that as women, society and culture, that it tames us. It tells us how we are supposed to act, and it sort of puts us in a box. And she said, untamed is the idea of finding your true self, being who God created you to be. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So what about you?
There's a lot on my list that is lines up with and is true, you know, for you as well. What really set the book up, and this is the comment that, you know, is kind of the common thing throughout all discussions, is about being a cheetah. And so she wrote in her prologue about a time when she and her family, they were at the zoo and they bought tickets to what was called the Cheetah Run. Glennon says that they're watching this cheetah run and the zookeeper comes out with a Labrador retriever and said that this lab and Tabitha, the cheetah, were raised together from babies. And so Tabitha follows and does everything that the lab does. And to show the audience like how much alike they are, there was a Jeep or a truck or something with a dirty pink bunny stuck on the end, you know, hanging off of the back of it. And when the zookeeper said go, then the truck takes off and this bunny is hanging off the back and the Labrador chases it all the way around the track. And Tabitha's in her cage and she's watching what the lab has done. And so the zookeeper gets Tabitha and brings her over and does the same thing, says go, and the truck takes off with the pink bunny and Tabitha does her lap and the zookeeper tosses this piece of meat as her reward and she lays down and eats it, and you know, that's that. But Glennon's daughter says to her, do you think she's happy? And actually, a kid from the audience also raises her hand and said, you know, is she happy? Does she miss the wild? Mm-hmm. And the zookeeper's response was, she would never survive in the wild, and she has a good life here. And so when that part was done, the zookeeper let Tabitha out into the open space. And Glennon said what she observed was this whole change in demeanor of this cheetah that she's remembering somewhere. Even though she wasn't born in the wild, there's this genetic thing that she, you know, she says she remembers her wildness and what she was born to be, a blank, blank, we're keeping this PG, folks, a blank, blank cheetah, you know. I know that there's been much of my life that has been lived running the same path over and over again, really not ever checking to the right or checking to the left to see what else, what my other options might be. But now I'm in this space where I know I've fought hard, had enough therapy to know that I am able to carve out my own path and that I have my own voice. I can be my own wild. And as you said, it's not being wild just for the sake of being wild, but it's being wild to the true essence of who I've been birthed to be.
You use the word genetics, you know, like the cheetah just genetically is made for the wild, yet had been tamed. And so it's almost like I see myself in the story as the dog, the same old patterns, habits. It's comfortable. Just keep chasing the pink bunny and just keep going, hang in there. So at times I'm like, oh my gosh, at times I'm the dog. And then I'm like, oh my word, there have been times that I'm caged, compromising, conforming, morphing, settling, putting aside what my heart longs for. I'm just caged, you know, and not that the animal does that yet. Then there's this, when I think about, you said genetics, I'm like, ooh, that's what I feel like I'm talking about genetically in our in my creation, in your creation, mm-hmm. there is that implanted longing for
yep.
what we are created for. And so yes. in that little story, it's like, ah, I see myself all in all of those places and spaces.
Yeah. Following that thought, mm-hmm. What are some common paths or pink bunnies that you personally chase? Not women generally, but you specifically.
Yeah. Why do I have to go first?
Because I talked last.
Doesn't have to be. I'm an equal opportunity partner. Oh, goodness. Okay, so what are some of my common pink bunnies that I chase? Ugh. Okay, so top of the mind things. Overfunctioning. These are hard to speak out.
I know.
Overfunctioning, helping, supporting people, busyness, accolades, affirmations, high fives. I'm feeling a lump in my throat.
Aw.
Achievement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Competition.
Yeah.
Doing it well. And then that Achilles heel for me, the pink bunny of just wanting to be loved and yeah. accepted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodness.
And I would say that, you know, when you're talking about helping people and supporting people, those are good things.
Oh,
but yet
yeah.
it can get skewed, right?
Oh,
and
goodness.
Suddenly,
yeah.
We are doing those acts out from a different place.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
they start out with a pure intent of our heart, but suddenly we realize that, oh, mm-hmm.
yeah,
this I'm needing something mm-hmm. from that.
Yeah. And I think this takes me right now in this moment. I know we're on Glennon, but this took me to Brené when she talks about our superpower can become our kryptonite.
Exactly.
And that's yes. what this sort of, as I'm talking about the chasing is yeah. where it becomes, the emotion comes in. Those are yeah. the things that I fight against. So,
yeah.
yeah. So Smitty, what does it look like for you?
Probably the really big one, that I really struggle with hard daily is the striving, and the striving to reach a place where I feel and believe and can own that I'm good enough. So even when people are giving me the accolades and the high fives and affirming, I'm not hearing that. I don't mm-hmm. hear it. I don't mm. allow that. I don't receive that mm. in a way that I can actually sit with it and acknowledge it. It's really, wow. those comments make it, I'm really uncomfortable mm-hmm. when people say, oh, you're so good at this, or oh, you did a great job, or oh, I'm just really uncomfortable mm-hmm. because my very first thought in my head is no, because you don't know this part and you don't know mm-hmm. that part mm-hmm. and so I can't receive that
mm.
and so it is this constant striving mm. for perfection and to get it right and to be able to finally be mm. in a place where I can really mm-hmm. receive that and really own that
mm.
so that's that I would say that's the pink bunny mm-hmm. that I would chase. It's that striving yeah. constant yeah. striving. So what does it look like for you, Tammy? What does being untamed now look like?
Mm, I am on the hot seat again.
You are.
Yeah, so what does untamed look like for me? This is funny. So I am a Googler or looking up definition kind of girl or synonyms, and so I did that with the word untamed. So the synonyms that grabbed my attention on this were natural, virgin, and wild. I know. And then as an adjective, it said untamed, wild, and not controlled by people.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, okay. So untamed looks like me living, quote, naturally wild and virgin-like. Not chasing the same old pink bunnies.
Yeah.
Untaming myself really is going to be a journey and an undoing. I have to figure out why living untamed matters to me. And I think that's what I'm trying to figure out with regard to this book and what she's sharing. How can I live more intentionally untamed every day? I have thought about some of those things for me. And one would be celebrate recovery. Celebrate recovery is a 12-step Christ-centered recovery ministry. It's a lot like AA. Small differences in those. So that's huge in what it looks like for me living untamed or being untamed. I think connecting, I always say this, connecting with real people, and people are like, what are real people? And so I'm like, it's the no fluffy sisterhood people. Like there's no fluffy scripts. It's just real people.
Yeah.
With real problems.
Yep.
Trying to live a real life. So for me, that's what I mean when I say it's that sisterhood of real people. All those have helped me become more untamed, living life, I think, more authentically, unapologetically at times, with boundaries. It takes tons of work for me, if I'm honest. So no easy 1, 2, 3, 4 steps for me about, be untamed in 3 easy steps with, you know.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been a lot of things, and it's taken a lot of work and daily intention.
I want to confirm your statement about it's not 1, 2, 3, 4 steps and suddenly you're untamed, nor is it about grabbing Glennon's book and reading it. And by the time you get to page 317, which
exactly.
is the end, you're suddenly you're going to be this untamed spirit to, you know, live. It is a process. It is a daily process. Mm-hmm. It is a surrender daily, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I think surrender is a good word. I mean, it's surrendering to that undoing, that unfolding, knowing that pain and sufferings are going to be there, loss and grief.
Yeah.
I mean, in whatever form that looks like. What does untamed look like for you, Smitty, or how does it maybe play out in your life? You've talked about striving, but
yeah,
kind of go specifically to what does that untamed look like for you living that way?
I had reached a place in my life where I just did not want to continue living the life that I had been living. Mm-hmm. And so was willing to surrender, to lay down enough to do the hard work to kind of get to the other side or a new place or whatever. And so it has been telling the truth of who I really am, because a lot of my old work was really trying to keep a lot of shame hidden.
Yeah.
Didn't want to tell, did not want anyone to know, because if they knew me, it goes back to what you were talking about earlier. I would not be loved. Mm-hmm. I would be rejected. I would be shut out. Mm-hmm. And when you try desperately hard, and Glennon speaks to this in Untamed, when you're working really hard at hiding all of that, then you're going to feed something else, and the feeding something else is generally negative emotion. Mm-hmm. So for her, it was alcoholism, it was bulimia, it was, you know, all these destructive behaviors. And so I would say have been anorexic, where I've starved myself. I have also been down the bulimia road. It's actually having enough awareness really to look around and notice and feel spiritual presence.
That's good.
So what's the mover for you?
Because we read things or do things or hear things that shake us up, and then we're like, how are we going to move forward?
That's right. What's the mover for you?
The mover for me, I've probably already said this, but I think it's still true for me. Cultivating my relationship with God, which is sitting, being, listening, meditating. This is so funny. It's really what I think we were just describing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly that place where I can live more free from the control of human needs, wants, and desires. Gosh, there's just like emotion behind this. It's so silly right now. just more out of that place and space of who I am. And I think I go back to this just isn't an easy process. Yet that's where it starts for me. And the mover is to keep becoming in this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think that's beautiful.
Thanks, Smitty. What about you? What about you? What's the mover for you?
Probably the biggest piece for me is to remember, to always remember that I'm here intentionally. I'm here by intention. I'm definitely wild, although age has tamed me a bit, or let's just say that I care less about many things that were so important to me when I was 20, 30, 40, 50. Yeah. I'm going to keep going. You can stop me anytime.
Stop. Don't go beyond your age, silly.
those were the things that were so important to me all those years ago, and they just no longer are. So, yeah. But the whole point really is that, you know, I get to choose what path I want to run.
Right.
I'm no longer someone who accepts the path of someone else or the path that someone else wants to place me on. I run it on my terms. I also know, you know, I'm old enough now to know that where I am today and what I believe today and the path that I'm on today is going to change and evolve as I grow and change and learn and read more books like Untamed or whatever that's going to shake me up, that then will cause me to move in a new way that I haven't, you know, moved before. So, and that I'm an effing cheetah. So
I love it. Love it. Okay.
So
that's good.
From Glennon's book, it's a direct quote and it sort of encapsulates everything that we've been really talking about today. And it starts on page 115 and goes over into page 116 for anybody who has the book and kind of wants to flag that. And she says, Glennon says, quote, "We weren't born distrusting and fearing ourselves. That was part of our taming. We were taught to believe that who we are in our natural state is bad and dangerous. They convinced us to be afraid of ourselves. So we do not honor our own bodies, curiosity, hunger, judgment, experience, or ambition. Instead, we lock away our true selves. Women who are best at this disappearing act earn the highest praise. She is so selfless." End quote.
I think for myself, for you, for other women that are in our circles, faces we know, faces we don't, I think my hope, my prayer would be for us to be women who are on mission, in a sense, to live and love.
Mm-hmm.
Self, others, from a place of knowing that it's going to be right and true for each one of us. Still tumultuous at times.
Oh, yeah.
Yet that trueness of being me, being you.
Being wild and untamed.
Being wild and untamed.
Yeah.
And beloved.
And beloved. It's so good.
Yeah.